relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Do you believe Russian hacking could actually change the outcome? Yes!
Russian hacking was part of an effort to defeat Hillary Clinton.
Did Russian hacking help sway the election for Donald Trump?
Clinton blames the head of the FBI, James Comey, for stopping her momentum.
There were a number of reasons for this, but lead among them, in my view, would be that letter from Director Comey.
Comey helped Trump significantly.
So-called fake news can have real-world consequences.
The rash of fake news stories on people's timelines influenced the election.
Presidential campaign that won the Electoral College fueled by fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Comey. Fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Comey.
Fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Comey. Fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Comey.
Fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Comey.
Fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Comey.
Fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Comey.
Fake news.
The Electoral College.
Russian hacking.
Jim Comey.
Fake news.
What it suggests potentially is that the election was in some sense illegitimate.
Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One. I am going to risk everything right now. This may be the shortest one-on-one interview ever. In fact, we may not even have to do it because, as you heard from that montage, the 2016 election was fraught, according to one side of the aisle and the mainstream media, with election fraud. Everywhere you look, there was election fraud. But then the self-same voices said about the last election in 2020 that it was watertight. The most secure election ever, so it looks like in one election cycle we've fixed everything. Seriously, let's look at the question of election integrity in America with our authority, the man we always ask to discuss these issues with us, senior legal fellow at the Conservative Mothership, the Heritage Foundation, former federal election commissioner and manager of Heritage's election law reform initiative, Hans von Spakovsky. Welcome to One-on-One.
Sebastian, thanks for having me.
So, have we fixed everything? Clearly, if you ask the Democrats, it's all fixed, right? In four, you know, they stole. Right. We stole the last election, conservatives, but now it's all fixed because, Biden won?
Well, that apparently is their view. Plus, if anyone raises any questions of any kind, why, then you're a crazy, paranoid conspirator. Yeah. No, look, we have problems throughout our election process. I mean, that's why John Fund and I named the book Our Broken Elections. And unfortunately, that accelerated last year because, as you know, progressive organizations used the COVID pandemic as an excuse to try to get all these election rules changed, often right in the middle of the election as it was occurring. And the justifications for those rules were simply not there. COVID was just an excuse. And almost all of them were intended to basically break down, get rid of the safety and security protocols that states have put in place.
All right, we'll talk about what happened in the last election. Let's start by setting the stage. Let's talk a little bit about you, your experience. Let's talk about the system that we have here in our republic, because it is rather unique given the Electoral College and the way that presidents are chosen. Let's start at the beginning. Who's responsible for elections? Because right now we have these efforts such as HR1, which are clearly designed to try and federalize elections so that, you know, DC gets to control how elections are done. That's not what the founding fathers had in mind, correct?
No, we have the most decentralized election system of any Western democracy. In fact, when I was on the Federal Election Commission, we used to get foreign delegations. And they were always totally astonished when I told them that the FEC does not actually run elections in the country.
So the commission that you served on doesn't run elections, and people say, well, hang on, that's not how we do it in our country.
No, that's exactly right. As you well know, it's totally different in Europe. And here, the states run elections. And actually, in the states, the day-to-day operations are run down at the county government level. That's where voter registration occurs. That's where they set up polling places and hire people to work in those polling places. Down at the county government level.
So let's ask a layman's question, if I may. When it comes to the running of elections, where is the locus of power? Who is the most important individual? Because last year's election clearly demonstrated that there's certain disagreement in various states as to whether governors can unilaterally say, oh, we don't need to verify signatures, or whether it's a state's secretary of state, or whether it is the legislative body. So I know every state is different because they have their own constitutions. But if you look at the original intent, where is the locus of election management in America?
The locus of power is the state legislatures. But what you had last year when governors and secretary of states and others were basically saying, well, we're just not going to comply with this state law, is they were in essence breaking the law.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, too many courts let them get away with it. That's why, I mean, one of the recommendations that John Fund and I make in our book in the last chapter is changing those provisions to give members of the legislature standing to sue in court when election official, other government official decides not to comply with the law.
So I want you to be my sounding board, my sanity check, because I've heard some very disturbing things from people who've worked these issues, people who've been constitutional lawyers, people like Jenna Ellis, people like Phil Klein, former Attorney General of Kansas, who've regaled me with numerous stories of going to state legislatures, going to state houses, and not necessarily finding malfeasance or just, you know, rampant corruption, but finding ignorance, finding state reps who really aren't aware that it is their body that runs elections and think that governors can override them, or, you know, the DOJ can come in ride roughshod. In your experience, is there an issue of education or an issue of actual constitutional knowledge?
Well, that's a problem with all legislators, whether it's at the state or federal level. But look, what I will say is the questions about last year's election and the frustrations over last year's election actually led to a positive development. The positive development was that it made a lot of state legislators finally aware of the problems that John Fund and I have been talking about for years. Yeah. And that's why you had states like Florida, Georgia, Texas, Arizona, and others. They actually passed pretty good election reform
since the election.
Yeah, they did it in the first quarter of this year. And remember, those election reform bills that they passed, places like Georgia and Texas, came under tremendous unfair criticism from the left. I mean, Joe Biden and others saying they were engaging in Jim Crow. No, they actually passed some good reforms to fix some of the holes in the system that we currently have. So they finally understood this is a problem. We got to do something about it.
We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky, who is co-author of a brand new book, Our Open Elections. You can get it right now. Follow Hans on Twitter at H von Spakovsky. That's S-P-A-K-O-V-S-K-Y. Your reaction, you know, you've mentioned these positive developments since November. Your reaction to the highest court in the land saying to Texas and 17 other states, sorry, it's irrelevant, your request for us to look at issues in the last election. Right. You have no standing. How is that possible? Because, the president of America is also the president of Texas, I presume.
Right. No, I think that was a major substantive mistake by the Supreme Court. I think the idea that a particular state, or in this case, a large group of states, don't have standing if the laws governing elections are not followed in other states to the point where it could change the outcome of an election, I think that was just wrong. And unfortunately, I believe that the justices on the court, as happened with so many other judges across the country in both the federal courts and the state courts, wanted to avoid the political hot potato of actually looking at the substantive issues involved. And that's why, as you know, all the cases that were filed, none of them actually got to the point of having a hearing looking at the actual evidence. All of them were dismissed on procedural grounds. No, right. No standing. You filed too late. And I think judges wanted to avoid getting into this very big political scene. And so they said, well, what excuse can we use to get rid of this case?
Which means there's no recourse. Where, you know, the judicial branch, which is meant to actually make decisions on these issues, basically reneges its responsibility.
Yeah, they did, although I think there are ways to remedy some of that. And one of them, as I said, is getting rid of... Remember, the excuse almost all the judges used was no standing.
Yeah.
Well, that can be fixed easily with the statute.
Right. So get out in front of it, fix
yes.
it at the state level, bring the legislation to bear that makes these ad hoc, last-minute, unconstitutional changes impossible. But first, those state houses have to want to do that job, and they have to want to have election integrity. Stay with us for more One-on-One with Hans von Spakovsky after the break. We are coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's real, pain relief that works, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included, but not just me, people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. Shouldn't that be your story? It could be your story, but there's only one way to find out. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What are you waiting for? You deserve to know. You know it makes sense. Liberate yourself. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
We're back with the Heritage Foundation's Hans von Spakovsky One-on-One. Friends, they canceled on us. Why? Because of the China virus last year. We had to cancel our trip to Israel. It's back. We're so excited. We've got our new dates for next year. Join me and my colleague Dinesh D'Souza for the trip of a lifetime to the actual part of the earth where our Lord and Savior walked the territory of the Bible. If you've only read about the Holy Land, if you've never been, join us next November for 10 days, a trip of a lifetime. We're going to go to all the key sites, the Temple Mount, the Wailing Wall, the Sea of Galilee. And if you've been before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Reserve your seats today, 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. Or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. You don't want to miss it. That's standwithisraeltour.com. We're back with Hans von Spakovsky. He is the Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation managing the Election Law Reform Initiative. So let's look specifically, Hans, at what happened last year. And I'm not a former election commissioner. I'm not a lawyer. You served in the DOJ, correct, as a lawyer?
I did, yes.
So here's my layman's take, and you tell me if it resonates. Conservatives are concerned. They are justifiably aggrieved because the incumbent president received more votes than any other incumbent president in history. And in four battleground states, the vote count was halted, and then the results reversed when the vote count was started again. So at least there are questions in four battleground states. For all the theories that have been developed since then, there are various baskets of theories, some rather outre ones, such as data farms in Germany, Venezuela, Dominion voting machines, memory sticks, algorithms, Wi-Fi access to electronic systems. My argument is a very simple one. If you know that the vote reversal occurred in places like Philadelphia, in Atlanta, these are places that have, in some cases, Chicago, decades-long history of fraught elections. And old-school fraud is perhaps where we should start. The idea that ballot stuffing, filling out election ballots for people who aren't actually the person on the ballot. Does it make sense if you're looking to address these issues, to follow the KISS principle and to stay with the keep it simple and start with that which we know? I mean, it's a joke. Philadelphia, Chicago, these are butts of jokes for decades.
Right.
Before we get to these ideas of computers and algorithms, we have a lot of work to do, which is very prosaic, do we not?
Yeah. No, you've analyzed it exactly right. If you want to look at problems with the elections, you look at the ways elections have been stolen in the past.
Right.
And for those who think that doesn't still happen, I mean, look, you mentioned ballot stuffing, right? Okay, just a couple of weeks ago, and this got almost no media attention because the media doesn't like covering this. Just a couple of weeks ago, a former election official in Philadelphia, who was actually a staffer for a member of the city council and who was responsible for running at least three polling places in Philly, she was indicted by the acting U.S. attorney for stuffing ballot boxes in her three precincts with bogus votes.
So old school fraud.
Yes. And for those who think that was isolated, no. Last year in May, also in Philadelphia, another election official was charged with exactly the same thing, stuffing the ballot box in multiple elections for multiple candidates. And he pleaded guilty to that. And guess who he says was paying him to do it? A Democratic political consultant in Philadelphia, a former Democratic congressman, who also was indicted by the feds. Now, that case is not yet, found whether he's innocent or guilty. But the point of it is that old-fashioned, old-style ballot stuffing was clearly going on in Philadelphia as part of a conspiracy. It wasn't just one isolated example.
So despite what we are told by the legacy mainstream media that voter fraud, election fraud doesn't happen, there are prosecutions and convictions every year, are there not?
Yes, there are.
Across the nation.
Yeah, look, we maintain a database at the Heritage Foundation. We just started a couple years ago of proven voter fraud cases. We're constantly adding more cases to it. We just added two more. We're following probably a couple of dozen more of prosecutions across the country. And look, the key to this, Sebastian, as you probably know, is that, there may not be widespread fraud everywhere in America in every election, but there's enough that we need to be concerned about it. And where could it make the difference? In close elections.
Yes.
That is the key to it, in close elections.
Like New Jersey.
Yes, right. To illustrate this, a month or so ago, the Los Angeles prosecutor indicted half a dozen individuals in Compton, California, including a member of the city council, for ballot fraud. That city councilman who was indicted won his election by one vote.
Oh, my gosh. We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, former federal election commissioner. The new book that gives you chapter and verse on the challenge to the United States is Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. A powerful, powerful subtitle. Follow him at H. von Spakovsky on Twitter. So we've discussed that there is a preventative role that the states, right, the legislatures have to get out in front and make election fraud as hard as possible. Talk to us about the other side, the praxis once an election is occurring, because we saw the video of GOP poll observers being escorted out of the building as vote counting continued, as luggage was pulled from under tables with ballots in them on camera. And then we hear these attempts to do something in the courts in Philly and elsewhere that were thrown out, GOP officials locked out of buildings. What is the culpability? What is the role of the party? So what is the job of the RNC? What is the job of the GOP once an election is occurring? And how badly was the ball dropped?
Right. Look, one of the most important things they can do is, one, actually supply folks to work in the polls. Because most states, Virginia is one, for example, they have a state law that says that election officials, when they're filling up polling positions, so these are people who actually run the polls, are supposed to, as much as possible, have bipartisan poll officials. They're supposed to hire both Republicans and Democrats.
Right. And there's always too few GOP.
No, that's exactly right. And the other thing that is important, as you said, is poll watchers. Look, as you well know, because of your international experience, the U.S. State Department, we send teams of observers all over the world of fledgling democracies. That's why observer programs in the U.S. are so important. And one of the things that Texas did in its election reform bill, the one that got such criticism, because of what you described of observers being thrown out of places like Philadelphia, is they actually strengthened the Texas law on observers to make it extremely difficult for election officials to throw an observer out. And that strengthening of that statute got horrendous criticism from Democratic legislators.
Why would you do that? I mean, this is the obvious question. Or why would measures that make fraud more difficult be a problem to any party? I don't care, you know, what the symbol of the party is or what they represent. Surely voter fraud is something you would want to minimize. We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky. The book is Our Broken Elections. We'll be back one-on-one with Hans von Spakovsky after these messages. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code G-O-R-K-A, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code G-O-R-K-A also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to One-on-One with Hans von Spakovsky. Hans, you've mentioned other countries. I grew up in the UK. I lived in Hungary for 15 years. Give us a little bit of a comparison with other nations. You know, we hear these stories that, you know, voter ID is suppression of votes. Talk to us about Mexico. Talk to us about that there's more than a billion people in India. And as far as I know, they show their IDs when they go to vote. So are we, is the only nation on God's earth to put men on the moon, perhaps one of the most backward when it comes to securing our elections?
Unfortunately, that's true. If I can I tell you a quick funny story about this? You know, the European Union, as you well know, sends observers to our federal elections. And now for a number of years, I've been asked to help brief the observers before the election. I'm almost always put on a panel with representatives from these very progressive liberal advocacy groups. These are the ones that have sued every state.
You mean the U.S. advocacy groups?
U.S. advocacy groups. These are the ones who have sued every state about voter ID. And I remember one specific incident where they were talking about how horrible ID was, that it was used to suppress votes, and all the European observers could not understand what they were talking about because in all of their countries, you have to show an ID to vote.
Right.
I mean, they just didn't understand this, why this would be a problem. Look, Mexico has a much larger population in poverty than us. They have a very strict photo ID requirement. One of the first things that South Africa did when it became a democracy, when Nelson Mandela was running for president, they put in an ID requirement.
So nations that have barrios, nations that have ghettos far beyond the proportion we have here managed to somehow have voter ID laws.
Yes, and they, on a second issue, they frown on mail-in or absentee ballot because they understand how much fraud can occur with those and how much easier it is, and they... Many of the nations don't allow it or severely restrict the circumstances under which you can use a mail-in ballot.
And simply because, logically, mailing in is just far more susceptible, yes?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Because you
right.
are there yes. at the voting booth. You're showing your ID, depending on the state. The obverse is just some envelope being mailed, and then who's opening it? We don't know. Who's collecting it? Who's verifying it? Who's standing there when it's being opened? Is it being put in the rubbish if it's for the wrong candidate? I mean, this is just common sense, is it not?
Well, it's common sense to all of us. It isn't to folks on the progressive left. Right. The other thing they don't like, the other reason they like it is, remember, in every state, there are laws against campaigning in polling places. So candidates can't show up, campaign staffers, they can't show up and they can't pressure you to vote a particular way. There's nothing to prevent them from showing up at voters' homes and trying to coerce and pressure them to vote a particular way.
Talk to us about the significance of voter rolls and their influence on the integrity of a given election.
The states, unfortunately, are doing a very bad job of maintaining the accuracy of their rolls. They're not finding people who have moved to other states. They're not taking people off who have died. And there have been a number of studies done on this. One in particular I know of that's probably the best has found literally tens of thousands of individuals, for example, who are registered in more than one state and are taking advantage of that by voting in the same election in more than one state. And that is a real issue, one that's got to be fixed. Yet, again, every time states try to do something about that, they get sued by the ACLU and other organizations saying, oh, you're trying to keep people from voting. No, that what the states are trying to do is take ineligible individuals off the roll so that won't be taken advantage of.
Whose job should it be? Is there a job for private individuals, citizens, voters, activist groups to get involved in cleaning up voter rolls? Or do we
yes.
just leave this to the state?
No, they should get involved because, in fact, look, the best thing grassroots organizations can do is get a copy of the voter registration list, for example, for their county, and start going through it. And if you find, for example, that there are 40 people registered to vote at what you know is a single-family home.
Right. One post box.
You need to go take a look at that and let election officials know that there is a potential problem with those voter registrations.
We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky, former federal election commissioner, senior legal fellow with the Heritage Foundation. Join the Heritage Foundation today, the conservative mothership, fighting for the principles upon which the republic was founded, heritage.org. He is the author of a brand new book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. You are listening to America First One-on-One. If you enjoy our deep dives, then do subscribe, not only to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. Just look for America First. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka. But don't forget, we live stream the radio show all 3 hours and then post all our segments, monologues, and the best elements of the show on our Rumble channel. Go to rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. It's free. Do it today. Do you do everything that you could do to ensure that you're healthy for your loved ones? Is your wife, your mother, your father, your children, your grandchildren, are they concerned that you're not the healthiest you could be? There are so many reasons to take Balance of Nature, but that's one of the reasons that I'm serious about it, because I'm serious about my personal responsibility for my health. You know you need to eat vegetables, you know you need to eat fruit, but very rarely do we eat enough. These 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, provide me with everything my body craves. 10 servings of 31 different fruits and fibers. Get serious, do it for your loved ones, and right now, Dr. Douglas Howard, the inventor, will give you 35% off and free shipping on your first order. Use my name, G-O-R-K-A. Call 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka. You can now watch America First on TV, and I urge you to check us out. Go to salemnews.com or download the app today. You can also watch us on Roku and Fire Stick. That's Salem News Channel, the antidote to the lying legacy media. Welcome back to One-on-One with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Hans, we have to look forward. We have to hope that the states do what is incumbent upon them to make fraud as hard as possible. What is the role of the individual who's concerned? My wife is a trained election officer, so you know she does her bit. I every day we get calls here at the show. I get DMs, I get texts from people who say, "That's it. I'm done. I'm not voting again. I'm a conservative, but they stole it last time and there's no point." Now I can say to them, "Oh, really? Did they steal Virginia?" right. So this isn't just a job for you or for state secretaries. Everybody has a responsibility, do they not?
Oh, yeah, they do. And look, one of the reasons Georgia passed an election reform bill was because of a group of grassroots activists, some of whom I know. They all got together and said, "We got to have Georgia fix some of the problems we saw in last year's election." And they started besieging their state legislators down there. And the legislators got interested, and that resulted in that election reform bill getting passed. Look, the other thing that folks ought to do, besides being a poll watcher, working in a polling place, is this. What has started happening, Sebastian, I know you've covered this, what has started happening at school board meetings Yes. across the country? Parents have started showing up at these meetings that normally, they're always open to the public, nobody shows up.
Right.
But they've started showing up and they've started asking questions about the critical race theory propaganda being taught to their kids. In the county governments that run elections across the country, they have county election boards and their meetings are public meetings. I was on two, one county, such county board in Georgia, one in Virginia. We would have public meetings and hardly anybody would show up.
Yeah.
Start showing up at those county board meetings and start asking questions. Are they doing basic things like comparing the county voter registration list to the state's DMV list
mm-hmm.
to find people who've moved
yeah.
and so need to be taken off the list? To find checking with state vital records departments to find people who have died so you can take them off the list. Start asking questions, and if the folks on the county election board aren't doing their job, get them replaced.
Or run yourself.
Yes, exactly right.
We're talking to the co-author of a brand new book, Are Broken Elections, Hans von Spakovsky, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. Okay, biggest question of the day, as far as I'm concerned, as just a voter, as a citizen, we have this Congresswoman Claudia Tenney was in the studio yesterday. She gave me this. This is a $350 million Zuckerbucks note. The involvement of private individuals and private money in what I call the privatization of our elections.
Right.
The idea that COVID was a smokescreen to allow people like Mark Zuckerberg to drop almost $500 million into certain districts to provide actual pseudo-election officials, to provide drop boxes in Democrat strongholds, not Republican ones. What is happening to stop this? Because next time it could be not $500 million, it could be $3 billion.
Right. No, that was probably one of the biggest factors in last year's election and why it came out the way it did. And in fact, we devote an entire chapter on going through this because in essence, what Zuckerberg and the other liberal donors did is they moved what is normally the Democratic Party's Get Out the Vote campaign into official government offices and used the resources of the government offices to get their vote out. One of the recommendations we make in our book, which now a number of states have followed, is to ban all private funding of election officials and election offices. Florida has passed such a ban. Georgia has passed such a ban. So we have Arizona and Texas. So states are acting to do something about this. So that is the answer to that, and I hope more states will take it up. Because, look, I don't care if you're a blue state or a red state. I would think everyone would agree that you don't want any private funding
From either side.
From either side going into the running of elections.
Right. Is there nothing to be done about what happened the last time? You're saying states have made this illegal in certain parts of the country, but does Zuckerberg and do his buddies in Palo Alto get away with privatizing last year's election? I mean, you're a former DOJ lawyer.
Look,
so
unfortunately, the way they structured it was it wasn't illegal under state law. Whether there was an IRS implication there, whether you could find evidence that they were acting with partisan purposes, even though they went through the private nonprofit route, I don't know the answer to that. But the only way you could uncover that would be if the IRS were to do an investigation. And what do you think of the chances that under the current administration...
I think the 8,000 extra offices they're hiring are not going to be used to target liberals like Mark Zuckerberg.
I don't think so either.
I think it'll be the Lois Lerner redux. It'll be targeting anybody who is associated with, the 74 million who voted for Donald Trump. We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky. Dear friends, do you want one reliable place to access your conservative information? Well, guess what? It's here. It's called Freedom Square. It is our new digital commonwealth, a patriotic portal designed to unite freedom-loving Americans. All of the websites you already rely upon for your daily information, your news, in one place where you can build a custom dashboard also to access your favorite podcasts. Likewise, if you want to do business with conservatives, if you're a conservative business who wants to do business with patriots, there is a business directory to connect like-minded people across the nation and to absolutely destroy the power of the cancel culture fascists. Join today. FreedomSquare.com is also a resource line constructed for you to learn and teach about America's founding documents and share that knowledge far and wide. Freedom-loving Americans have a new home. That home is freedomsquare.com. Log on now and create your free personalized dashboard. Join us in the fight for freedom. See you on Freedom Square. That's freedomsquare.com. Freedom lives here. We are talking election integrity with a man who knows more than most, former federal election commissioner. He is the manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. Follow him at H. Von Spakovsky on Twitter. And the new book is Our Broken Elections. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You're listening to America First One-on-One on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Stand With Israel Tour.
This is America First One-on-One with the Heritage Foundation's Hans von Spakovsky. I think Virginia's great. I think so many people were watching Virginia. It made it hard for fraud to be rampant. And secondly, I think we just had a smart pivot, a pirouette, if you will, from Youngkin, who was talking business, business, business. Then he saw the mama bears at the school board meetings. Then he embraced this anti-CRT movement. And he said, I'm going to ban critical race theory. And of course, Terry McAuliffe's statement that parents shouldn't be in charge and we have too many white teachers helped as well. But I'm not sure Virginia is the model for election integrity going forward. How much more work is there to be done?
There's a lot more work to be done. You know, while a number of states that we've talked about and talked about in the book have passed election reform, other states haven't. In fact, in Virginia, Democrats who've controlled the state legislature now for several years have basically reversed all the good changes. The state used to have a good voter ID law. That got wiped out. They put in a law that's going to put in same-day voter registration next year. All that's got to be changed. One thing that didn't get a lot of attention in Virginia is that the Republicans there, both the candidates and actually the state party, they put on, and grassroots organizations, they put on an unprecedented statewide poll watcher program that they've never had anything like it before. But even in Virginia in this election, you once again had officials trying to manipulate the election by not complying with state law.
Yeah.
A week and a half before the election, you had the county registrar in Fairfax County. That's a blue county. It's controlled by Democrats, largest county in the state. He came out and said, I'm not going to comply with the state law on absentee ballots. And he was just vocal about it. Again, Virginia needs to pass a law that's going to give folks the ability to go to court and prevent that kind of thing from happening.
Well, they have a two-seat majority. It was confirmed this week. The GOP has a two-seat majority in Richmond. But to your point, what is the possible motivation? I can think of only one. For Governor Northam, the butcher of Richmond, to say, for the first time in the Commonwealth's history, we're not going to verify signatures on mail-in ballots. I see only one. I mean, whether it's, yeah, right, it's cashing a check or a contract, the only reason you don't check a signature is why? Because it's not the right signature and you don't want it checked.
No, that's exactly right. And that's why, look, that was one of the biggest things that the left last year in the across the country tried to do, was get rid of the signature comparison requirement. Yeah, yeah. And why, again, why would you do that other than to allow fraud to occur?
Yeah, very simple. It's just common sense. As usual, most problems in America can be solved with just a little bit of common sense and leadership. And it comes down to those who are prepared to lead. I think the victory in Virginia for Glenn Youngkin occurred in large part because of the grassroots leadership, not just of party officials, precinct captains, but parents at those school board meetings. Are you running for office? Are you supporting somebody who's running for office? Or have you volunteered to be a poll watcher or an election official? It's that simple. Thank you, Hans. The book is Our Broken Elections. Get it right now. How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head in a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.